You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coon Cassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. Delighted to be joined by Mr. David Price. How are you, mate?
Not bad, mate. How are you?
All good. You look very fresh this morning.
I'm fresher than I was yesterday morning. Fresher than I was Sunday morning. That's why I couldn't go on.
What's your tipple of choice, David?
Beers, wine, spirits. The Holy Trinity.
A lot.
No, I just have a beer, mate. I just have a beer. But I watched the boxing and, just had a bit of a late night. Sat here, enjoyed myself. And now, back in the gym yesterday, back in a minute when I get off this call.
Listen, we're all entitled to have a little bit of downtime, David. You're back in what was your assessment of Joshua's performance and his knockout of Kubrat Pulev?
Thought it was brilliant performance, to be honest. See improvements in him every time he's fighting, obviously, apart from the slip-up he had, but just thought he boxed brilliantly and mixed it up. Lovely as well. He kept it long when he got up close. The aggression came out. His movement was good. His engine looked fine. You know, the couple of shots he did take, he held well. Just a great performance. And Pulev was, you know, although we weren't throwing many punches, he's always threatening Pulev. So you can't switch off for a minute. He's always in your range, but you know, on the back foot a little bit. So he's always threatening, he's always there. And he kept cool, Joshua. His jab worked well. At times, he reminded me a little bit like a bit of a Cuban at times, the way he was moving, the way he was punching. So, you know, I thought it was an A-star performance, to be honest.
Let's talk about that third round, because it seemed inevitable that Joshua would get him out of there. There was a point in that as well where Pulev turned his back towards Joshua, towards the corner of the ropes.
Yeah.
What did you make of that third round?
He just exploded into action, didn't he? And that's what I was expecting quite early on. I thought he's going to put his foot on the gas at some point early on and just try and get the job done. And to be honest, you probably couldn't have argued that the ref would have just stopped the fight the way he turned his back. He literally turned his back and ran away. He was in survival mode there. But, you know, not many people could do that to a fighter like Kubrat Pulev, where they put that much of an onslaught on. He must have some power, Joshua, mate, to make someone like Pulev literally turn his back and run away. He couldn't get him off him, couldn't get away from him. You know, it was a great third round, and probably could have stepped on it again in the next round, but I think he's learned his lesson from the Andy Ruiz fight about punching himself out and going for things too early. You know, he was going to make it a long night of pain for Pulev instead, and that's what he did.
Mm. We know Joshua is one of the best finishers in the game when he's on it, and he certainly was on it in that ninth round. Well, it was a textbook knockout from Joshua.
Oh, mate, it was brilliant. Like I was saying in the week before it, Joshua's most powerful punches are up close. You know, when I think he's throwing like 3-4 uppercuts on the bounce. You don't really see that from many heavyweights, let alone 6'6", 6'7" heavyweights, tall fighters who are supposed to be long range. But the power he generates up close and in mid range is fantastic. But the icing on the cake was the textbook perfect straight right hand right on the chin. And it was, I don't think it could have gone much better. It was like the type of fight you'd want to see on a film, you know, like that type of finish, you know, it's something like something off a film, you know, it was that clean. It was you couldn't have doubted it really. I thought it was fantastic.
What did you make of his demeanour after the fight? Obviously, he was always going to get asked the question about Tyson Fury. He was reluctant to talk about Tyson Fury leading into that fight that week, which was understandable because we've been there before where people were asking him questions about Deontay Wilder before the Andy Ruiz 1 fight. So he was very kind of sceptical about answering anything to do with Tyson Fury before the fight. But after the fight, when he was asked about Tyson Fury, his attitude was he wants the belt. So whoever that has got the belts, if that's Fury or whoever, Fury does have the belt. What did you make of his kind of his body language and his demeanour after the fight when being asked about Fury?
I don't know. I think the way Joshua was working, he's staying in his own lane still. You know, he doesn't want to. I think he wanted it to be more about himself that night and his performance than maybe what's next and Tyson Fury. But obviously, that's what everyone's talking about. You know, I do believe he wants the Fury fight, and I don't believe he thinks it's going to be anyone but Tyson Fury. So I'm not sure. It's a bit of a funny one that he could have just said, look, it's on type of thing. It's going to be Tyson Fury, unless he knows something we don't. And, you know, is the Usyk thing going to come into play? What, I don't know, but he might have. Look, if you pick a fight with Tyson Fury, you've got to be prepared to have the energy to, when I say a fight, I mean even like an argument back and forth, you've got to be prepared to have the energy to do it. And that, you know, once it's on, and because Fury will go into overdrive. So maybe he thought, I actually can't be quite arsed arguing with Tyson Fury just yet. We'll wait till the fight's announced. I don't know. You'd have to ask himself. But, you know, if he'd have come out and got out the ring and said, you know, this Tyson Fury, this Dan Newell, he might have got what I got off Tyson Fury when he was at the ringside. Call me a plumber and all that. So he might have got that.
In live television ever, I've got to say.
I'd just be totally Harrison, hadn't I? And I'd got asked about Tyson Fury, said, yeah, I want the fight. And they got relayed to him with the Gael fight. And that's what got said then. But yeah, he might have just thought, you know what? Let's just keep it about me tonight and then deal with Fury later, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if the fight was signed, sealed and delivered pending that result, but it's not. There's a lot of work that needs to be done while the situation, Usyk's situation with the WBO. There's a lot that needs to be done before we get to actually about this fight. So I kind of get where he's at with that, you know.
Yeah, he's very level-headed, isn't he? He's, you know, he's got a wise head on his shoulders. He won't say shit that may not come to fruition, Anthony Joshua. You feel like there's no bullshit. Do you know what I mean? If it's going to happen, then yeah, he'll talk about it. But even if there's a little doubt, he's got quite a bit of a level-headed philosophy about things in life. I think, you know, he seems pretty switched on. So he's probably thought, what's the point in wasting energy on this if there's even a minute chance it might happen? Until it's signed, sealed, delivered, it doesn't need any building up, really, does it? You know, if everyone's desperate to see the fight, then he's probably just thought, I'll keep my cards close to my chest, maybe, but so we'll get it.
A lot of pressure on him as well, because Fury was meant to fight this year. He didn't fight. What happens in the early part of 2021 is yet to be seen, but he's been in this situation before where everyone's talking about a different fight ahead of the one that he was on. So there was a lot of pressure for him to keep his side of the bargain, if you like, to make sure that fight is still going to take place next year between Fury and Joshua. So
yeah, there was big pressure on him, and you know he's used to pressure, but this was a little bit different, I think, because of the situation we're in. There's been hardly any big heavyweight fights. All eyes were on him, and obviously he was coming off his win against Ruiz, and it was whether, you know, is he going to be safety first? Is he still going to be a bit tentative, a bit gun shiny? Proved he wasn't. And I was thinking going into the fight on Saturday night, for me, I think Pulev was Joshua's best opponent since the Klitschko fight. When I look at who he's fought, I think Pulev had beat Ruiz. I think Pulev had beat Joseph Parker. So it was a real fight. So it was big pressure. Weren't like it was a keep warm fight, you know. It was there was a lot riding on it, and you know, the big Tyson Fury hasn't really had that, where there's been a big fight around the corner. He's had the Deontay Wilder rematch, but he was selective a bit more with the opponent, with Tom Schwartz and the Southpaw kid Otto Wallen. Although that turned out to be a difficult fight and a good win. But I think going into this one, they knew the dangers of Paul Evan. They knew it could be a real banana skin and this could fuck everything up here for all of us. So the pressure was on. So you could imagine it will have lifted massively after it. The weight off the shoulders that they had to fight won.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, we'll wait and see. Like I said, this we're closing in on the year now. So Joshua did that part. What happens next year? Like I said, there's so many things that need to be ironed out before we can really get excited about that fight. But we're all confident that hopefully 2021 we do at least get to see that fight once, possibly twice. So,
oh, it'd be brilliant. But can you imagine? You know, it's so fucking exciting, isn't it? The thought of that fight happening. Because the two of them now in their own right are superstars. You know, at one point, Anthony Joshua was a superstar. Tyson Fury had done what he'd done, which was brilliant, but was kind of like not as mainstream, not as marketable. You know, his fights were not as, exposed as Anthony Joshua's with the Sky Sports machine and everything else. But in the last 18 months, Tyson Fury's become a brand himself, hasn't he? And it's like two superstars fighting each other. I can't remember heavyweight fight like this, especially not in England. It's exciting.
Certainly is. Well, David, listen, appreciate a little bit.
Thanks, Coogan.
I'll let you go to the gym, my friend.
Thank you. All right, mate.
Hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah. See you soon, mate.
David, thank you very much, mate.
Thanks, Coogan.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.